Every week after the gospel reading, I declare, and I hope it's with some conviction, this is the gospel of the Lord. Days like today, though, that is more of a question, I think. This is the gospel of the Lord? Jesus is talking about cutting off limbs and plucking out eyes. Hell is mentioned more than one time. Cuts a bit quick, or close to the bone, with some of his comments. To understand where Jesus is coming from, we have to understand his history, what his scripture said. Let's go back to the first lesson for this morning. In the pages of Deuteronomy comes part of Moses' sermon to the people. This was after they had wandered in the desert for their 40 years and they were on the boundaries of the promised land that God had promised long ago. Now, throughout the wandering in the desert, they were taught the law, the Torah, ways of living with their God and with one another. Healthy ways of forming and maintaining, encouraging community, relationship. Now remember, they got into the wilderness because they fled Egypt, the great Exodus event. God did that for them. He heard their cry and liberated them from slavery, and then taught them and brought them now in our text today, right before, to the welcome mat of the promised land. Now Moses has this sermon because what he wants to do is to remind the people of all the lessons they had in the wilderness. Because see, in a little bit, they're going to get land. They're going to be a landed people rather than some nomadic gathering of tribes. And God's fear for them is given voice by Moses as they're going to forget everything that they learned. Because they'll be in the land, they'll have shiny new toys, they're going to be like the other neighboring kingdoms. And God wants them to remember God's ways, and not the ways of earthly kingdoms. And so Moses goes back over the Torah, reminds them that the Torah is the way of life. That when we heed God's teachings, our life is more abundant, as well as helping those around us live fuller and more abundant lives. It is a good thing. Remember how Moses got the law? Went up the mountain and received 15 commandments. Any Mel Brooks fans? History of the World Part 2 is coming out. After how many years? If you haven't seen it, the joke is Moses goes up the mountain and gets 3 tablets. Says, I give you these 15, and one slips out and breaks. 10 commandments. So Moses goes up the mountain. What we often miss, because that's not so much a part of our story, it is, it should be, is that that was a gift. It was a gift that God gave the people because they had agreed to a covenant. God said, I will be your God. And the people responded, most of the time, we will be your people. So like the kings of old, when they signed a treaty together, they would lavish one another with gifts. God gifts the people the law. Now the law, that English word, carries some bad connotations, right? Maybe it's better if we think of the Torah as teachings. Now, they're commandments. These aren't, you know, suggestions. This is God saying, this is how you are to live. So they carry that impact and weight, but ultimately, they're teachings. They're a gift. And so that's the context in which we hear Jesus now preaching to the folks the Sermon on the Mount. It's the third week in a row we've heard from Matthew chapter 5 from the Sermon on the Mount. It will be the last we hear in our series of readings as we move on to the Transfiguration next week. Remember where Jesus has been with the Beatitudes? Lifting up the marginalized, the oppressed, blessing those who mourn and grieve. Last week we heard a charge to the disciples, to all those who would follow him. You are salt and light. You are a blessing to the world. And on the heels of this comes today's lesson. See, the problem wasn't the law. The commandments of God, the great gift that God bestowed upon the people, that wasn't the problem. The law is a good thing. The problem was people took it and, as we do, made it into two things. First, some kind of system by which we judge ourselves compared to others. Often compare ourselves favorably. Here are the things I do. You should do that too. Kind of the weft and weave of religious life. Think about our own Puritan heritage here in the States. So it became a way to build a point system where we could check off boxes and compare ourselves favorably to one another. Now, often when people did this and they made it known to others how good they were put in positions of power. And that's the second issue with how people use the law. Often the law, the power that was given, was used for oppression, was used to put down certain segments of the population, was used as a hammer to beat others into submission. So again, the problem wasn't the law, it was how people took it and used it. We just can't have nice things. We do this. And so God in Jesus comes. And God in Jesus, as we hear in our text today, fulfills the law. That is, Jesus, as fully God, yet fully human, as the unblemished Lamb of God, as the sinless one, fully fulfills all that God had intended for God's people. That fulfillment, that righteousness, is then given to God's people. And so while we hear these harsh words, we shouldn't do so without remembering that we don't rely on our own righteousness because we do things like misuse the law, but we rely on God's righteousness, which is perfect, which is complete. So what is Jesus doing in this? Well, he's obviously resorting to hyperbole. Jesus is overstating the case so that people might hear, might listen. I was thinking this past week of those greeting cards that have a picture on the front or just some flashy words, you know, lots of money, or I saw one that said beer. Sometimes they'll have a attractive person on the front that kind of has a come hither look. And then when you open it up, it says, "Now that I have your attention, happy birthday." Have you seen those cards? At the risk of oversimplifying it, I think that's a bit what Jesus is doing. He's saying, this is an important teaching. Words and actions have consequences. Is he literally saying, cut off your hand or pluck out your eye? I don't think so. I think it's hyperbole. It's better to give over to the righteousness of God and to not do something or to do the right thing than it is to give in and follow the path of the world. And so Jesus brings up things like how we communicate with one another, how we communicate about one another behind their backs. Jesus brings up things like how we settle disputes. Our bulletin has a wonderful picture today of two people reconciling. Do we strive to reconcile, or do we only seek to throw the other under the bus so we get our way? And Jesus brings up marital relations. Again, within the context of this greater teaching of the law and of how we're to care for one another. He follows it with making oaths, which is a pretty good segue from the marital bond, because we exchange vows. Again, all of this is to say there is a way to live that honors relationship with God and people, and with people and one another. This is how you do it. It's difficult. It is a hard thing to live a righteous life. We are aware that we are called to a kingdom ethic. Remember, that's how Jesus began his ministry. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus brings the kingdom of heaven to his disciples and charges them then to take it out into the world. And so we do our best to live a righteous life. But we do so only remembering not just the past, the story of Moses and the Israelites and the kingdom of Israel, the promises that God made. But we strive to live a righteous life looking ahead, because the kingdom, while it is here, is coming in its fullness and one day will be complete. We pray that every week, "Thy kingdom come." It is coming. One day it will be here in its fullness. And everything that God intended for creation, everything that God intends for you and for me, will be fulfilled. We're told there will be no more sorrow, no more pain. God will wipe every tear from every eye. We will only know life and life abundant. The kingdom is at hand, and it is coming. We live in the already, but not quite yet. I had the great fortune for the last couple of years to go back to school, and it's quite different as a, dare I say, mature adult. I remember being in school, and not only do you have the difficulty of trying to study and learn and, you know, struggling with your life and your, you know, what great life decisions, but I remember, maybe you do too, I think it's fair to say a sense of fear that I had to get the grades to pass the test. I had to write the paper to get the grade to pass the class. And I remember feeling that they had all the power. And so I did what I was told. And I did my best. And most of the time. My mother's here. I can't, you know, totally. But as an adult, I chose to enter this education program, and while there were requirements, take this test, read this book, watch this PowerPoint, participate in this online conversation, I really wanted to learn. I wanted to grow in an understanding of the ways to go about, you know, the field that I was hoping to enter. It's quite a different feeling. Not to just pass the test to get the grade, but to really learn. And as we think about Jesus calling us to observe the fulfillment of God's law in Him, I think that's helpful. We can look at the Old Testament in each of its 613 commandments and say, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? How am I going to pass this test? But that's not what it's about. It's about God inviting God's people, first the nation of Israel, and then now the church, to really learn what it means to be righteous, to live in a way that honors life and offers abundant life. Right? To not just learn the tricks of the trade to get by, but to learn the trade and excel. To live a righteous life. We have this concept of righteousness, but we also have the concept of mercy. We can't lose that context when we read this lesson. We began the service with the order for confession and forgiveness. We seek to live a righteous life, knowing that when we fail, there is mercy. And so we try again, and try again, and try again. We do so with the forgiveness and the power of God, God's own righteousness.